Welcome to this Joy 94.9 podcast.
We want to hear from you.
It's time for our listener survey. So head to the Joy website and let us know what you love about the station and your presenters.
Maybe you'd like to share your thoughts on Joy's program production team, the volunteers behind Joy Podcasts.
The results of this survey will assist us in continuing to be the best possible station we can be.
Head to joy.org.au and have your say. Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12.
Michael Kroger is the president of the Liberal Party in Victoria. And Michael, I don't know if you were listening earlier, but we had a fairly spirited discussion with a colleague of yours, Tim Wilson, on marriage equality and the plebiscite.
Right.
It got a bit
robust, let's just say
he words of being irresponsible and, yeah, anyway, we got fired up.
He said to you?
Yeah.
He called us irresponsible. And he said that we didn't support marriage equality.
Right. Well, it's a man to have an argument with Tim because he's been in a few and he can hold his own. So
he can. I think he might have been this morning. First off, Mike, I want to your view on this, and if I can ask you from the heart, mate, do you believe the Parliament should decide this or a plebiscite? What do you really want?
Well, look, you're changing an institution that's 2,000 years old. And a lot of people, if the plebiscite passed MACA, a lot of people won't accept that. If the Parliament votes, a lot of people won't accept that.
Mm-hmm.
If the plebiscite takes place and it passes the plebiscite, how do you argue with that? It's very hard to argue with the view of the entire Australian community in a compulsory vote. Now, my point is, for those that support marriage equality, they should support a plebiscite, because then there will never be any argument ever. It's like when there's a referendum. No one argues with the result ever. When the Republic went down, people said, well, it's been lost. The rules are clear. No one can say, oh, well, they promised a plebiscite, and then people backed away and they snuck it through the Parliament when so-and-so wasn't there, or late at night, or whatever, however it's done.
How it was changed in 2004.
Well, don't forget, he was basically, you know, John Howard was basically reinforcing the existing law. This is a change to the law, and that's why I say to people, look, we understand all the concerns, but there will never be any argument with the result. And overwhelmingly, the public have shown two things in opinion polls. One, they overwhelmingly support a plebiscite, and secondly, they overwhelmingly support a change to the law. And so I see that a plebiscite, MACA, to answer your question, is a way to put this matter to bed for once and for all, because no one will argue with the result.
Okay. Even though the result, Michael, is not binding?
I wouldn't have the slightest concern about that at all. Not the slightest concern. There will be some people, if it's passed, who will not vote for it because they don't believe it. Fair enough. But overwhelmingly, speaking to people in the coalition, overwhelmingly, I find that, I can't put a percentage on it, nearly all of the ones I've spoken to say, mate, I'm going to be against it, I'm going to campaign against it, but if the plebiscite's carried, I have to respect the wishes of the Australian public and I'll vote for it. There will be a few, not many. There'll be a few on the other side, but not many.
Yeah.
Not many. How do you deliberately go into Parliament and vote against the will of the Australian public when everyone knows why we're holding this plebiscite?
Michael, the reason why our communities are opposed to a plebiscite, pardon me, is essentially because it will cause damage. During the week, there was an ad that's already been posted opposing equal marriage, which shows a rainbow-coloured noose around someone's neck. Now, we've had reputable organisations like Beyond Blue say this is causing damage. It is further stigmatising suicide and a whole range of other attitudes. How can we allow this to occur? How can we, in a civil society like ours, allow discriminatory attitudes, negative attitudes and behaviours be publicly debated and publicly funded?
Because we're a free society. And because people are entitled to speak freely, people are allowed in this country to say the Holocaust didn't exist.
Which caused damage hurt to people.
Yes, it does. It certainly does. And it's very, very offensive. It denies history. The offence that causes people in the Jewish community is untold. But in a free society, you need to judge extremists by their words, deeds and actions. They are marginalised. And yes, there will be people running silly ads. I might also add at the same time, people in the community, LGBTI community, have to be careful that some of their more extreme members don't behave in the way, in some of the way we've seen comments made against some of the Christian churches. This works both ways, of course.
Yeah.
So, people are entitled to oppose marriage equality, and their arguments are 2,000 years old. That doesn't mean they're freaks or extremists. And some people in the community have got to be careful as well not to inflame this debate. This isn't just one-sided. But the answer to your question is that in a free and democratic society, there will always be extremists. We have members of the Greens, basically, some of whom I think display neo-fascist attitudes towards Jews and Israel. But they're entitled to those views, as extreme and as unpalatable as they are.
Mm. Michael, just a question. George Christensen this morning, in discussing the equalisation of the age of consent in the state of Queensland, has likened allowing homosexual age of consent to equal that of the heterosexual age of consent as licensing pedophilia. At what point does the party start to ask questions about that sort of voice and that sort of comment?
He is a national. You can love the sheep but not the shepherd.
Well, true, but he's part of a coalition government. At what point does somebody start to question that sort of comment coming from an elected member? It's fine for extremists and groups to have their opinions and be able to voice them, but when an elected member of our House starts to make those comments...
And he's the National Party whip.
I think it starts to get very dangerous.
Well, the answer to that's obvious, that people that make, extreme comments in our society, particularly if they're members of parliament, will be judged ultimately by their electorate, as Pauline Hanson was when she was in the House of Representatives.
And will be again.
People will judge those people and, ultimately... if they fall out of favour with the electorate, they'll be thrown out of Parliament.
Six years is a long time. Three. Pauline was elected for six, wasn't she?
It's a long time to wait. She went to the lower house. But, George's views, and they probably don't reflect any on the coalition side in relation to that issue. We live in a society where we allow people to express views, and we can agree or disagree, and as long as they're not inciting hatred or as long as they're not defaming people's good character, we allow those people to have those views. And quite frankly, I think we should, and we can oppose those views.
But isn't that view that he's expressed inciting hatred? He's comparing homosexuality to paedophilia. I'm a survivor of child sexual abuse, and I can't make any relation between the two.
No, I certainly see your point. That comment he's made is not something would find favour with many, I don't think, at all, and he'll be judged by that.
Let's move on from that a little bit. We were speaking with Mark Dreyfus earlier, and I commented that you'd previously talked about public funding of election campaigns because Australians don't like dark corners, is what you said, which I really liked. Now, Mark has challenged you to introduce some more transparent, you know, to support more transparency in donations and timeliness. But he said he didn't think Australians were ready for totally public-funded election campaigns. Do you want to make a comment?
Yes, I think they are, because what we see over time is actually a lack of transparency. You know, let me give you an example. The donations to political parties should equal the donations that are disclosed by the donors. They should, apart from public funding, they should equal each other, and they never do because the record's never complete on all sides, including the Greens.
Yeah.
They're just not complete. And, Mac, secondly, I don't like having to ask people to donate to political parties because a lot of people want to keep their political and religious and sexual views to themselves. It's part of our society. They don't like expressing their political views. They're not political animals in many cases, and giving money means they're disclosed, and they're therefore having to disclose their political views, and a lot of people prefer not to. So and then for the other reason that you just mentioned, this is a slightly dark place in our Australian democracy, and I just prefer complete transparency where the public knows exactly how much is being given, exactly how much is being spent, who spends it on what, and so it's properly regulated. And we put limits on what people give. I mean, that 2007 election where the trade union movement basically bought that election for Kevin Rudd by donating $30 million, that had the worst elements of the most extreme forms of what we don't like about the American presidential elections. Mm. But it's only if you can raise billions that can you
become president.
No
yeah.
person, well, no ordinary person can run for president.
No,
you're statute barred by the fact that Trump's got billions and Clinton's got billions, and then of course you have all these queries to look at the American situation where you've got the Clinton Foundation and Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton have given lots of speeches and made millions of dollars out of the speeches, and good on them. There's nothing wrong with that. But then they get donations from Wall Street, and there are queries about that and what's been given in return, et cetera, et cetera. Why, they ask you a question, why do you donate money to a political party if you're not looking for something in return? And that's why I just say, look, why isn't it just 100% public funding?
Let's just remove it.
Remove the whole thing, and it's entirely transparent. And I think that would be a great thing for the Australian democracy, because it would then... You know, it would level the playing field everywhere. It would absolve individuals, unions, companies, et cetera, having to give money to political parties. It would get rid of the whole disclosure issue. And transparency, is something, again, in our democracy that, is something that finds favour with people.
We've got to go, Michael, but I've got a last suggestion. Don't have the plebiscite. Mm. Use the money. It'll fund two elections.
That
I hear you.
Michael Kroger.
Thanks
who
for
is
having me.
Thank you again.
President of the Liberal Party of Victoria.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.